Kum lene rablak gemara, we are up to daf samach zayin amat aluv masechta erevin. And the most recent thing we were learning about was the argument of Yechon and Shmuel, which we'll revisit in a minute. And it's by the two dots, about eight lines from the top of the page. So we're talking about two amarayim here that are mentioned quite often in the gemara. Rab Chisda and Rab Sheshes. Kipogi Bahadi Adodi, when they used to meet each other, Rav Chisda Martin Sifase, Rav Chisda, his lips used to quiver when he used to meet Rav Sheshes, Mimasni Otto de Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes was like a Sinai. He had a photographic memory and he knew all the Mishnayos, and Rav Chisda was always worried that Rav Sheshes would ask him questions on the Mishnayos, from one contradictions from one Mishnah to another Mishnah, and he'll say, Rav Chisda, no, you answer. And Rav Chisda wouldn't know a proper answer. And but Rav Sheshes, Martea Kula Gufe, Rav Sheshes was even more intimidated. His entire body, not just his lips, would tremble. Mipilpula de Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda was so sharp and such a deep thinker, Rav Sheshes was very intimidated by that. So Rav Sheshes basically was a Sinai, and Rav Chisda was an Oikar Harim. So interesting, when Rabbah and Rav Chisda have an argument, they're both described as Oikar Harim. They're both described as being extremely sharp. So you gotta, next time we have an argument, Rabbah and Rav Chisda, you gotta take another look at it, because they are both equal in Oikar Harim. Now, Bayi Mineid Rav Chisda and Rav Sheshes. Rav Chisda asks Rav Sheshes a very interesting question. What happens, you have like this, Shnei Batim, you have two houses, Mishnei Tzidei Rishus Rabim. You have two houses and they're both on two sides of the street. Now, even if they wanted to make an Erev between themselves, they couldn't make an Erev because there's a street right there in intersecting their two properties. But what happened was, on Shabbos, Uvo Nachim, somehow or another, they worked over Friday night and came along a Goyim, V'hikifum Mechitza B'Shabbos, and encircled the two houses of the Mechitza. They cut out the main street and they made a wall around those two houses. And we already learned before that if you build a Mechitza on Shabbos, even B'Mezid, it's a valid Mechitza. And the question is, Mahu? Question is, can one of them abandon his rights and give it over to the other person? At least the other person can carry an entire chatzar over there. Now, Aliba the Mandamar, according to Shmuel, who said before, Ein bitl reshus mechatzar lechatzar. Shmuel said before that you cannot cancel reshus from one chatzar to another chatzar. So then there's something to talk about later Beilach. This is what we had yesterday, where Shmuel was saying there that you cannot, the people of one chatzah cannot cancel their reshus in another chatzah, right, to the people of the other chatzah. So here also, the people of one house, there's nothing to talk about, cannot now abandon their rights and give it to the person in the other house. Why? And this is not even a question. Why is that? Hashtar madach, di boyi liruvet merl matzi ma'arva. And in a normal case, if they wanted to make an Erev yesterday, they could have made an Erev yesterday. And ain't bitul reshus mechatzal chatzin. And you say, there's no bitul reshus mechatzal chatzin. Hach over here. In other words, yesterday there was the goy wasn't there, and then he popped in on Shabbos. And you said that you cannot do bitul reshus from one to another, and then you know you want to rent from the goy on Shabbos, and then you want that one person should abandon because the erev has now been cancelled by the fact that the goy came back, and then you want one person to abandon his rights to the other person. In that case over there, they definitely could. You could have made an Erev on Friday. And yet, on Shabbos, you tell me you cannot abandon rights. So what's there to talk about in a case where the two houses on two sides of the street, when on Friday, even if they wanted to, they couldn't have made an Erev? Surely there's nothing to talk about that on Shabbos, they should be able to abandon rights. So, they want to make an Erev on Friday, they couldn't. Surely there's nothing to talk about, they cannot abandon their rights on Shabbos. My question is according to Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon holds in that case when the goy came back, cancels their Erev, they rent it from the goy, and then he says that one person there can be mevatel reshus to the other person. What would he hold in our case when you have two sides of the street? My question is, Aliba the man, the one that says, Yesh bitul reshus mechatzah lechatzah, that you can cancel. So the question is as follows. Hasam over there, maybe the reason why you could cancel is the boiler of metma, motzimari. Maybe Rabbi Yechon holds, since they wanted to make an Erev on Friday, they could have. So therefore, so on Shabbos, if you want, you can abandon your rights because we have a connection to each other. even before Friday, we wanted to make an Eidav to each other, so there's a connection. Well, yes, we could have made an Eidav, which means there's absolutely no connection, link between my house and your house. Either between Nam Lemotzavati, maybe on Shabbos proper, you can make a Bittul. Or maybe it makes no difference. Rabbi Yochanan holds in all instances, you can always abandon your rights, even on Shabbos. So what did Rabbi Sheshet answer? Amalei Rabbi Sheshet answered, Ein Mevatin. Absolutely, you cannot be Mevatin. Even according to Rabbi Yochanan, in this case, because there's no link between these two houses before Shabbos, they cannot abandon their rights, neither of them, on Shabbos proper. So they built a wall around them on Shabbos, you got to wait till next week before you can go ahead and make a native. Case number two. What happens if Mace Nochri b'Shabbos? There's a goy living in your neighborhood. There are two yidin and a goy. And we know the two yidin made an native. It doesn't work unless you rent from the goy as well. And they didn't do anything on Friday. And then the goy died on Shabbos. So now all you have left is two yidin. And two yidin, if you forgot to make an Eidav, you can always abandon, one of them can abandon their rights and say to the other person, you take over and you could carry from your house into the chotcher. What about in this case here, where there's a goy on Friday, the goy is gone? That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns that the goy wasn't there on Friday. The goy came on Shabbos, so he made it also, and then he died. So what's the din? So he asked the question as well. Eliba demand amma seichin, according to Rabbi Yechanan, it says, that if a goy comes on Shabbos, you're allowed to rent from him on Shabbos. We had an argument if you're allowed to rent from a goy on Shabbos or not. And according to one who says that's like an Eidav, and just like an Eidav has to be done on Friday, this has to be done on Friday, and you can't. And the other one says it's more like the goy is abandoning his rights, and therefore you can. So according to the one who says that you can't, according to one who says that one who said you could rent from a goy later boilach, then there's no question to ask. Why? The one who said that if the goy popped in on Shabbos, which is Rabbi Yechanan, you're allowed to rent from the goy, and then one guy abandons his rights. So madach on Shabbos proper, you're allowed to rent from a goy. You're allowed to do two things. You're renting from the goy, and then one of you abandoning your rights. So surely in this case here, where the goy died, there's nothing to rent. All you're doing is one thing, abandoning your rights. There's nothing to talk about. Of course you're allowed to. Ha, shtar tavdin, madach is allowed to do two things, renting from a goy and abandoning your rights. Chodem miboy, you have to ask him a question about one, surely you're allowed to. Elokiti madam ainsach, according to Shmuel, who says that you cannot do two things. But over here, you're only doing one thing, because the goy you don't have to rent from. Two things we don't do, but over here is only doing one thing. You don't have to rent from the guy is dead. So all we're doing is abandoning the shush is all right. The demolition makes no difference. Malay said to him, I'll tell you the truth, he says, I argue that you can. Why? Because he's only doing one thing. Hamnuna says he cannot, because since you couldn't have made an aid of yesterday without renting from the guy, and so therefore you cannot abandon your rights on Shabbos, as if there's no connection there. Om Rav Yudah Shmuel. Now, Yudah is the name of Shmuel. So you have a goy who joined in your chatzar. And we learned till now you have to rent from the goy, because we don't want you to learn from the goy, and we know that will be a bit more difficult, and we want to discourage you from living in that neighborhood. So it says that Rav Yudah is the name of Shmuel. Nochri a goy sheyesh loy pesach. He has one doorway going through the main street, and that's his main access way. But he has another door taking him out to the fields. Pesach arbor al arbor. He has a door that's 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim wide, and pesuach lebika, and it's open out to the fields. Then in that case, I would argue that he, even though he uses his main access way to that common street where the Eden have the fronting their your courtyards, but since the guy has an alternative, and this alternative is better because he has a lot more space and privacy out in the fields, that is halachically will be considered his main road, and he doesn't in any way impede on the chatzar, on the mavi of these people here. Even though he uses the access way to bring his camels and his wagons all day long, derech mavi through that main street, in oisra b'nei mavi, he still does not in any way ask the people and who join in that street. My time away, but pischa de meyachle, his private door that is designated for him. Technically, or we look at it as if that's his main door, because it gives him all that open space. See, boilo, our question is, what about, it's not open to fields, but open to a karfif. A karfif, we learned before, is like an enclosed area that has walls, but it's like hook of the dinner. It wasn't enclosed to surround a residence. It was more to surround like a whole storing wood there or other things. So what happens if he has a doorway but going to a karfif? Do we then say, no, his main access way is the mavi and therefore they have to rent from him his rights? Or do we still say that the karfif, the door leading to the karfif, is his main door? Our question is, what happens if it's open to a karfif? Mao, how do we treat that? Onu Nachem Balami, Mashmei, in the name of Ulfuna. He heard it from his teacher. That's called Ulfuna. Ulfuna means learnt. He learned it from a teacher, heard from another teacher. That afilu pasuach lekarfif. Even if it's open to a karfif, which is a limited area and it's enclosed, it's still, that is his preferred access way, because it's still more private space there, more than the common street. And therefore, it's as if he relinquished his rights to the main street, and you don't have to rent from him his rights. Says the Gemara, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, the Amit Tavai, both say, Nochri, when it comes to a goy, the rule is follows. Base Asayim, the entire karfif is merely two. So remember, we learned that a karfif shlahukav ledidah is technically just a yachid, it has four walls, but the rabbis don't like it because it's sort of, there's no residence there. So we said as follows: if it's small in size, 50 by 100 amas, 5,000 square amas, or we say two saw, so it's very limited in size, similar to the Mishkan, we'll say it's considered an enclosed area and it's a private place, you'll let it carry there. But if it's larger than that, we say people start thinking it looks more like a karmas, more like a common area, or more like a public area. If we allow you to carry there more than 4 cubits, next time you'll carry in the main street more than 4 cubits. So a karfif that's wider than two saw, even though technically it's a shusha yachid, we're going to treat it like a karmas and you're not allowed to carry there. So by a goy, it can be the opposite. By a goy, if the entire karfif is merely based assigned two saw, so it's pretty small, then oise. He's not going to make that his main doorway, so therefore his main doorway will be the street, and he asses on everybody else that have to rent his rights on the street from him. If the karfif has to be larger or greater than that area, then anyways, then obviously that becomes the main area, and that doorway is the main doorway, and therefore he does not ask on anybody else. just the opposite. If it's exactly two saw, anyways. If it's exactly two saw, has a door to a karfif. If a yid has a door to a karfif and a door to a mavi, and he forgot to participate in the Erev. And the question is, do we need him to abandon his rights? So we say as follows. If he has a karfif, which is two saw or less, so for him, he can use that and put his things over there, then he doesn't really have to use the access way, so he doesn't ask them the Shabbos, doesn't have to relinquish his rights. By a goy, it's exactly the opposite. But by yid, because he knows if it's larger than two saw, he cannot carry there. It's only less than two saw that he can carry there. And he's happy there because he has his privacy and there's plenty of space. So he saw a basis, I'm anyways. If it's less than, so he doesn't ask on the mobility, and it's as if he's not there. Or the Yosef Islam, if it's greater than two saw, so it means he cannot take anything into the car, if he cannot carry the more than 4 amas, then Oysid. Then he has no benefit in using the karfif. He'll use the main street, and he forgot to participate in the Eidiv. He prevents anyone else from using the Eidiv unless they go ahead and get him to extinguish his rights or give them over his rights. Says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, right? Omar Ullam Rabbi Yechon. Ula came along and said, karfif. He says a din that we had previously as well. He said, a karfif, if it's yoisim mit beis asayim, a karfif which is larger than susa, technically it's a shusa yachid, because it has walls around it, but it's a great area, shalahuku the dida, and those walls were not meant to surround a home, afilu kor, even though it might be a very large area, the size of a kor, or two kor, 30 so, 60 so, very large area, is still technically shusa yachid. You're not allowed to carry the chumrah, but it's technically shusha yachid. So therefore, hazoydeg l'toychoy, if somebody from the street throws an object into there, it's like you're throwing from a public space into a private space, and you're liable, chayiv. My time away, mechitzihi, proper walls. Elesh mechuset is the yodin. It is proper walls, it's just missing inhabitants. It's missing residents. And therefore, it's technically shusha yachid. And if you throw something in the Yechayv Mahatayra, it's just that the Rabbanu will machmir and say, we'll treat it like a karmelis, which will be different, as we'll see, than an ordinary karmelis. An ordinary karmelis means it's not a private space, but it's neither is a public, like a forest, a sea. It's not private, not public, and that's called a karmelis. Here, it's definitely Shus HaYachid. But the Rambanim were machmil with Tula Kamel, they shouldn't carry more than four Amos, as Yimara will soon see. Most of the Rambanim asked a question, it says in the Ebraisa, Sela Shebiyam, let's say in the middle of the ocean, you have this giant rock that protrudes from the ocean. Gvoya Soros, 10 Tfachim high, Verechiv Abba. We learned that if you have the dimensions 10 Tfachim high and 4 Tfachim wide, it's significant that it becomes like a private place. Standing above that becomes like a private space. So if it happens to be in the beginning of the ocean and there's water all around it, nevertheless, it's a private space. Ein mitaltin loy mitoyche liyam, loy miyam toyche. So din number one is, you're not allowed to carry from that rock to the ocean or vice versa, because going from a karmus to a shus yachid. What about poches mekan, it's lower than 10 tfachim? Let's say it's lower than 7 or narrower than 4 tfachim. Is metalkin. If it's lower than 4 than 10 tfachim, then it's a karmless. So it's just like it's no different than the sea. So you're allowed to carry things from the rock to the water or the water to the rock. Ad kama now starts the next part of the braisa. We're going to try to work out this part over here. Ad kama, is it referring to the second part about if it's less than 10 tfachim high? So it's a karmless. And you're allowed to carry from the stone to the water. Or we're talking about the first part where it is 10 tfachim high, it's a shus hayachid, and where it says you're not allowed to carry from the rock to the water. So the braisa says, ad kama, how far? Ad beis ha'sayim. That as long as it's up to the size of tusa. What exactly are we referring to? A high. On which case are we talking about over here? Elam, if you want to say aseifa in the very last case, where it talks about that if it's less than 10 tfachim, it's similar to the ocean, you're allowed to carry from the rock to the ocean. And what are you saying? Beis asayim tfeiloi. What are you saying? If it's greater, this rock, let's say the top of the rock is greater than two sa, it's no longer kamlis. Surely it's a kamlis. So why can't you carry it from anywhere in that rock to the ocean? Tfeiloi, when a kamlis a kamlis, what's the problem? Elaboration, definitely talking about the ratio. What does the ratio say? That if it's 10 tfachim high, 4 tfachim wide, it's a shus hayachid, and you're not allowed to carry from there into the water. But then it seems to say in the braisa, ad kama, that rock is less than 2 sa. But if it's 2 sa, but if it's greater than 2 sa, then you're allowed to carry from the rock to the water. So we see that if it's greater than 2 sa, not like Ulu said, technically it's a shus hayachid, just where machmer is like a karmelis. It seems that it's no longer a private place. It's considered a karmelis, whether it's l'chumra, whether it's l'kula, even lenient, and you're allowed to carry from the rock to the water, a kashanula. The Chayda Brais is saying the following. Sela Shabiyam, if you have a cell in the sea, Gavoya, Sara 10 Tfachim high, Varechida, 4 Tfachim wide, Ein Metalti, you're not allowed to carry, Loi Metoich, Loi Yam, Loi Yam, you're not allowed to carry from there to the water because from Mashiach the Kamlis. The Ad Kama, till when, this is how we understood the Brais, until when do we say that this rock has the status of a private place? Ad Beis HaSayim, as long as it's no greater than Tusa. Ha yes, Sera Beis HaSayim, but if it is greater than Tusa, Metalklin, you're allowed to carry. Alma, what is even here? Karmelisi. Now, once it's lodged in the two saws, it's not a Rosh Hashanah Yachid anymore. It's totally a karmelis. To you, to the Rabbi Yechon, question on Ul in the name of Rabbi Yechon. Amar Rav Zerava, very sharp. Man de la yada terutze masnayata. People who don't understand how to learn brises, to you, to Moisivle. The Rabbi Yechon will ask questions to Rabbi Yechon. Obviously, you learn totally wrong pshat, and I'll tell you how you learn pshat. We're going to say that a karfif, an ear that's enclosed, or a rishus yachid, no matter how, like a stone in the water, same thing, there's no residence there, no matter how great it is, mahatoyda, it's definitely always a rishus yachid. Greater than tusa, midrabbanan, it's a karmelis. So what's the braisa asking over here? How big of an, what's the expanse of the area? And we say til tusa, what's that referring to? But this is but we're not talking about the case of carrying from the water to the rock, or the rock to the water. Because then, no matter how large the rock is, it's always a shus hayachid, and therefore you shouldn't be carrying from the water to the rock, or the rock to the water, because you're taking from a karmelis, the sea, to the rock, which is shus hayachid. But what is it? What's the braisa saying? The braisa is saying, but what about within the rock itself? If it's a shus hayachid, you're allowed to carry for more than four amas, the entire distance, the expanse of the rock. If it's larger than two saw, you're not allowed to carry, and that's what he's saying here. Habat toicha metalkin, it's the inference from the braisa. The braisa doesn't talk about carrying on the rock itself. It's talking about carrying to and fro the ocean to the rock. But we can infer from there, but on the rock itself, you can carry because it's shus hayachid. So the braisa now is saying, but ad kama, When do we say you're allowed to carry an entire expanse, the breadth and width of this rock? Only ad beis hasayim, up to tusa. That's all. But the rock, no matter how great it is always technicus yochid, and you're not allowed to carry from the ocean there. No question on Ula name Rabbi Yechon. That's his version. Rav Ashi, however, says, le'ilu mareisha. Rav Ashi, no, I agree that we're talking about the ratio, but I disagree, we're talking about the inference, we're talking about the carrying on the rock itself. We're talking about, clearly, the Brice is talking about carrying to and fro the rock. Now, the Brice is saying, when do we say you're not allowed to carry to and fro the rock? Unless the rock is less than, it's two saw or less. But if it's greater than two saw, you are permitted to carry from the rock to the water. The question is why? If it's greater than two saw, you're telling me, technically, why in the world should you be able to carry from the rock to the ocean? So Rav Ashi explains that an ocean is different. Lel Mareisha. And nevertheless, we permit you, Hein Amru, the Hein Amru. Who said that you're not allowed? Rabbi Yechon's answer, surely it's a Shusha Yachid, no matter how great an expanse it is. But the Rabbanon said that you're allowed to carry from the rock to the water if it's greater than two Amos. Why? Because who even said you're not allowed to carry from Shusha Yachid to a Karmelis? Only the Rabbanon. But in this thing over here, the Rabbanon were lenient. They said, because it looks like a Karmelis greater than Tusa, so we're going to be lenient, we're going to allow you to carry from the rock greater than Tusa to the ocean. Even though technically it's not really a Shusha Yachid, it's not really a Karmelis, the rock, because it's still a Shusha Yachid. But who said you're not allowed to carry from Shusha Yachid to a Karmelis? Only us. In the case of the rock, we decided if it's greater than Tusa, you're allowed to carry to the ocean. And why is that? Heim Amru v'heim Amru. They made this Isser and they made this leniency. Or they made this Isser as well. And here we have a conflict of two Isserim. And they decided to remove one from the other. What is that? Heim Amru, they're the ones that said, Karfif Yisr v'Yisrim, a Karfif, that's greater than Tusar, Shalahuklu, there's no residence there. Eim Mitalkin b'od Alam. We'll treat like a Karmelis, you only let it carry for Amos. Right? We treat like a Karmelis. And the reason is because people make a mistake. If you're allowed to carry there, people think you're allowed to carry Shusar Abim as well. But you're definitely not allowed to carry from a Shusha Rabim to their Mehatorah, because technically it's a Shusha Yachid. But Vein Amr, they also have another rule where they said, Ein Metalklim Shusha Yachid to Karmelis. You're not allowed to carry from a Shusha Yachid to a Karmelis, right? Because if we allow you to do that, next time you'll carry from a private place into the main street. And now, this Shusha Yachid, which is greater than Tusa, we decided to remove that Isser. Why? Because if we're going to ask you to carry in this place, that's greater than Tusa, you're going to think, nothing bad is going to happen with it. But if we're going to ask you from carrying from the ocean to the rock, or the actual ocean, you're going to say that you're going to think that this rock, if we're going to say the rock is five saw great, we don't want you to carry from the ocean to the rock, what are you going to think right away? That this rock is actually a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And therefore, you're going to think it's a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and you're going to think that what? That even in a lenient way, it's a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And you're going to carry the entire expanse of the rock. We have two of areas there. One, you're not allowed to carry the entire expanse of an area that's larger than Tusa, and one, you're not allowed to take Makamas, which is Yachid. Here, we're worried if we're going to stress on one, you're going to make a mistake on another. We thought that if we're going to disallow you to carry from the ocean to the rock or from the rock to the ocean, you're going to think, oh, well, it's a Shusha Yachid, I can't take it. So then, if you're on the rock, you'll think I can carry the entire expanse. So therefore, we decided to allow you to carry from the ocean to the rock if it's greater than Tusa, you're going to realize that it's a Karmelis and I shouldn't be carrying four Amos. Now, why is this particular din more important than the other one? Okay. So, Hein Amru, Emetav Shuziyachish Karmelis, Beis Asayim, the Shadi, the Tetulah, Bekuli, a Beis Asayim, that we allow you to carry Asir, Rabban, the Tetulah. Lo'im Liyam Tekel, Lo'im Tekel Liyam. If it's less than Tusa, we're not going to allow you to carry from the ocean because it's really Shuziyachit from the Torah, and therefore we're not going to allow you to carry from a Karmelis Shuziyachit. My time is Yachid Muri, because definitely is Yachid. But if it's greater than Tusa, the Asul is Tetula Bekula. Like, we don't want you to carry an entire area. We decided, even though Shaz Yachid, we decided to be Machmet, treated like a Karmelis. Shoru Rabbonul is Tetula Metech Liyam Yam Techa. We decided to allow you to carry from the ocean to there, so you'll realize that it's a Karmelis, and you won't carry four Amas on top of this rock. My time, why? Because Dilma Amri, if we're not going to allow you to carry from the ocean to this rock, if it's such a great expanse, you're going to conclude you're Shusha Yachid Muri. It's totally Shusha Yachid, and you might then mistakenly carry on top of the rock. But also, it's totally Bekul, you'll carry on top of the rock the entire expanse, if you're not allowed to. Says the Gemara. So why are we more, so you have two averes here. One is carrying on the rock, if it's greater than Tusa, and one is taking from the ocean to the rock. So why did you decide to suspend the Isser of carrying from the ocean to the rock in order to ensure that we don't do the other Isser of carrying more than 4 amas on the rock? Why is one Isser a greater Isser than the other one? Umashna toichai. Umashna, what's the difference? Says, I'll tell you the difference. He says it because toichai shchiach, that people walk on the rock is common. If we're going to allow you to carry and everybody can see you, so then they're going to make a mistake and think, oh, that you're allowed to carry also to Shusar Abim. But since it's not common to carry from the ocean to the rock, or the rock to the ocean, the Rabbanon decided that Iser we're going to dismiss in this case because it's rare. And even though, generally speaking, from a Shusar Yochid to Kamlis, you're not allowed to carry, because they're all common. But over here, it's not common. And therefore, we decided that the avera of carrying on an expanse greater than two saw is a more common thing, and therefore we decided to keep that iser. Says Gemara further, Avu Yinuki was a little baby, Dishtapach, it was a little baby that had to circumcise, and it used to be that whenever they circumcised a child, they used to have hot water prepared, ready in case of an emergency, the kid's not well or something, or whatever it is. So everything was ready. So we're talking about they didn't yet mala the child, so there's no pekuach nefesh yet involved in this case over here. So what happened was that the water spilled out, but the mila didn't take it. If the mila took place, it's pekuach nefesh. No, there's nothing to discuss. What happened was that the water spilled out before the kid was gemalat. So what happened was there was a kid, that the hot water they prepared in case of emergency just spilled out. And now it's not there, and it's before the bris. Amalei Rabbi Abba said, we got to be ready. But there's no pikuach nefesh yet. So he said, my house is in the same chatzah, got hot water there. Bring it over here, so it should be ready. Amalei Abba said to him, I don't know if you know this, but they didn't make an eid of the Shabbos around this chatzah. So you can't carry. Omelas, and then Rabbi said, Nismach Ashituf. There's a din which we'll see later, that if a number of chatzeres made a shittuf mevois, they decided to make an erev between a common erev on that street, which is the common street, and that they all put bread in or whatever they gave, if they were bread, anything. For a mother, we don't need bread, it can be anything. And they all join in together, then automatically it includes everybody, all the houses in each chatzer that they can carry. They don't even have to make a separate erev for the chatzer. So he said to him, okay, so Nismach HaShittuf, let's rely on this Shittuf, on the fact that we joined together for the street. Amalei Abaye said to him, I'm sorry to tell you this, but Halo Shetfinan. We didn't make a Shittuf Mavois the Shabbos either. No carrying. So Rabbi said, unperturbed, Rabbi said, Name it the Nachri, so let's tell a Goy, let's tell a Goy to bring it. Even though you're not tell a Goy to carry, to do Nisus Rabbanon. Over here in this case, let's tell a Goy to do it, because for the sake of the mitzvah. Amalei Abaye says, Abaye, Boy, Lasuva Lamar, Abaye, interesting. Abaye didn't let anybody go. Not Rabbi Yosef. He had two teachers, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. He gave him a hard time. Rabbi was a lot more tame. So the Abaye, truth of the matter is that he says, teacher, Boy, Lasuva Lamar, I have a question. But what should I do? Vilay Shavkar Rabbi Yosef. My other teacher, Rabbi Yosef, said, I'm not allowed to ask you any questions. What do you mean? Rabbi Yosef, I'm Rabbi Kana. Rabbi Yosef said, Rabbi Kana. When I was once by my teacher, Rabbi Yehuda, and he told us as follows. But the Raisa, if your Rav makes a psak about a din which has to do with the Torah, and you have a question with it, you think he's wrong, then before you proceed to follow him, first ask your questions, because you got to sort it out. We're talking about a question of violating an Isra in the Torah. And v'hadar av dinah. And then you go ahead and you listen and to what your Rebbe paskind. But Maisa the Rabbanon, if the whole thing is Hadar Din Maisa, then you go ahead and you do activity. But with the Rabbanon, if the whole question is only an Isa the Rabbanon, then Avdin Maisa, if your teacher tells you to do something, even if you have questions on it, go ahead first and follow your teacher. And then Vahadar Maisa, then you ask questions. The famous Nesivus is one of those proofs he brings here in Simon, where he says that if you did an Avera in the Torah by mistake, you have to bring Karachatas. But he says, by a derabbanan, if you did an aver by mistake, you don't have to bring, you didn't do anything wrong. In other words, it's a famous question. We know when there's an Isur in the Torah, the object itself, treif, the food itself is treif, therefore you're not allowed to eat it. When it comes to a Rabbanu come along and say, this is forbidden, we don't want you to eat this, we don't want you to do this. The Rabbanu have the capacity to take that item and turn it into treif, or the item itself is kosher, but the rabbis say, we confer upon you an Isur that you shouldn't eat from it. And the difference is as follows. If the Isur is on me that I shouldn't do this aver, I shouldn't eat this, because the rabbis told me not to eat this, then the thing is, that if I did it by mistake, I didn't realize you're not allowed to, then I did nothing wrong. Because the food was permitted. I, who shouldn't have been doing it, I didn't know it was wrong. So what aver did you do? You don't have to do tshuva. But if the item itself became treif, because the Rabbanu said so, then even though I wasn't aware that it's treif, the fact is you ate something treif. I still need to do tshuva. And then the Nesivus learns that it's on the person. It's a Isur Gavra. And therefore, if he did a mistake, and that's his proof right here. Because he asked, what's the difference if it's Mahatera Midrabbanu? Even if it's Midrabbanu, first, shouldn't you ask the question first before you go ahead and do it? Because here you seem to be, you know, you're doing it because your Rebbe told you, but you have misgivings. So you should air your misgivings first, because otherwise you might have done something wrong, and you might have done a very nitshuva. It's a raya that if you're doing it because your Rebbe told you, you had no choice, an aveda wasn't done, because the entire Isa is on the person, the Gavra, and in this case, he didn't wantonly do an aveda, so it's permitted. Anyway, so he listened to Rabbi, he got a goy to bring the hot water. My boy is Lois Suleiman. Afterwards, he said, "Nu, what do you want to ask? What do you want to ask? What was your question?" Rabbi Yeh says, "Bai, you want to ask a question. What was your question?" And here Rabbi Yeh is going to defend Rabbi. Amalei, he said to him, "I'll tell you my question. It says we learning Gemara Pesachim that you cannot bring a carbon Pesach if you were tame unless you were sprinkled by the Parah Aduma." And sprinkling on Shabbos is forbidden midrabbanon, because you're fixing up a person, you're not allowed to do midrabbanon. And we're not going to allow you to do it if it's Pesach, you have to bring a carbon, even though it's only an Issa derabbanon, and you want to do a mitzvah in the Torah, bring a carbon Pesach, we're not going to suspend an Issa derabbanon in order for you to do a mitzvah in the Torah. So why are we allowing a goy, suspending the avera of instructing a goy to do an avera for you, to do a malacha for you, why are we suspending that in order to do a mitzvah bris milah? Why are we allowing the goy to carry the water? Where there's no Erev. So he asked, Hazar Ishfus, sprinkling the paradum is a Rabbanon. And talking to a guy is a Rabbanon. So Ma Hazar Shfus, just like Hazar, is a Rabbanon. The end of the Shabbos doesn't push away Shabbos. Af Amidal Nachri, also instructing a guy, is Shfus is Rabbanon. The end of the Shabbos, it shouldn't push away the Shabbos. Why did Rabbi tell the guy to go ahead and carry on Shabbos the water? Omar Rabbi said, what are you talking about? You don't find a difference between Shavuos to Isbe Maisa. You now do a Rabbanon that includes an Isur in the Torah. Well, let's say telling a goy to cook for you on Shabbos. You can't do that. The Shavuos the Lesbe Maisa over here, the whole of the Aveda of telling a goy is only Midrabbanon. And the Isur that he's doing, it's a double Rabbanon. The Isur he's doing is carrying in the Carmelis, which is only Midrabbanon, or in a Chatz in the courtyard, which is only Rabbanon. And you're doing it for the sake of a mitzvah. And over here, the Hamale Amal Gav El Nachri Zilach. He never told the guy go heat up the water. If he would have told the guy cook up the water, he would have told the guy do an Isur Deraisa. Even though even telling a guy it's only Midrabbanan, you're right, you shouldn't do it for the sake of a mitzvah. But telling a guy to do an Isur Deraisa for the sake of a mitzvah, like turning on the Ikish and Shul on Shabbos or the heater, which are always Isur Deraisa, and the Tzarech Mitzvah, then you're allowed to, because a double Deraisa, a Shavuos to Shavuos, the Tzarech Mitzvah, you're allowed to. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow in Mitzvah.